Looking for your next go-to smoke shop? Stop scrolling, I've got you. Headshop.com is the number one online smoke shop, already trusted by over 100,000 happy smokers, just like you. They've got it all. Dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, even THCA flower, all in one place. Need a new daily driver? Grab a smooth glass bong or a classic smoking pipe. More of a concentrate fan? Their dab rigs, e-rigs, and wax accessories are designed for smoother, harder-hitting sessions. And yes, they've even got legal THC flower. Best part? Every order ships fast and discreet, which is why thousands of smokers keep coming back. So don't waste time hopping between shops. Shop the best in dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, and THCA flower right now at headshop.com, the number one online smoke shop. Headshop.com has what you need. Check it out today. Oh, and because you're listening right now, you get 10% off your next order when you use the coupon code HSHOP at checkout. Go to headshop.com now and smoke smarter.
My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success.
I've been telling everybody that our government is shady, but every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens invading, fluoride in the water, they spray our skies daily. When I talk about these things, they think I'm crazy. There's no escaping anymore, the evil that we're facing. Illuminati mind control, they're sacrificing babies. The end of days, but anyways, my family thinks I'm crazy.
What, they don't want to listen to you? No, they don't want to listen, they don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know. If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
This tea leaf came from an old tree from ancient China. It's a distant traveler, and this isn't my home, this is a teapot, right? And so in the same way that I'm going to tidy up my house before my guest comes, I'm going to warm up my teapot before I introduce the leaves. And then if this guest is going to stay for a while, I might want to run my guest a bath. And so in the same way, I'm going to rinse my tea leaves before I serve them. And then in this kind of slow process of introducing heat, introducing water to the leaves, and then slowly allowing them to bloom, now we brew it. It's kind of a, or I say foreplay, if you will, with the leaves, and it allows you to have an experience of brewing from the inside out, as opposed to just, you know, brewing the leaves straight away and then kind of brewing from the outside in. All right, this is, it's an invitation to slow the fuck down. And in that slowing down, you know, anxiety goes away, pain goes away, neck and shoulder pain goes away, blood pressure regulates, blood sugar regulates. It's like, you know, if there's any medicine, it's not the tea. It's that you slow down. And that's the medicine.
You just heard today's guest, a Kung Fu practitioner, Taoist monk, and tea ceremonialist, who joins me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this conversation with my friend, David Wei of Wudang West. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are back again on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. We are beyond the 5-year anniversary. I am now 31 years old. But what we're here to talk about today is not the 5-year anniversary, but this is a momentous occasion because today's guest is returning probably after, I mean, this might be the longest hiatus we've had for any returning guest, because our guest today joined me on episode 27 of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast, way back in the early days when I still had my co-host Jay, who's now running for city politics somewhere here in Connecticut. I mean, I just drove by a sign on the side of the road with his name on it. I was shocked. Enough about that. No tangents further. Today's guest is the man from Wudang West. He's a Taoist and he's my friend. His name is David Wei. And you've probably, if you haven't heard my interview with him, you've probably heard me refer to my interview with him, because some of the things we talked about in that interview all the way back when, episode 27, they were just, I mean, gems. So welcome back, dude. It's been quite a ride with this podcast. And I got to say, yeah, you're, in my opinion, one of the Hall of Fame guests. So I haven't really talked much about the Hall of Fame of guests, but you're in it.
Wow. Swear to God. That was like 2020, 2021.
Yep.
That was before I was a father, or kind of right around that time.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. I've had a few milestones myself since then.
Right on, man. Well, and let's get into who you are, because I don't imagine most of my audience have listened to much of the early episodes. It's a totally different sound quality, so I get it if people might not want to go back and listen to those. We might remaster them in the future at some point, but yeah, give us the long and short of it, who you are, what you do, before we get into some of our topics for today.
Right on. The short of it, I'm a kung fu dude, and as I've grown older, it's less about kung fu as fists and kicks and more about kung fu as self-discovery through hard work over time. And in that, kung fu can be anything you do, you know? And so the short of it is it's kind of what I'm up to. I do kung fu, I do Chinese medicine, I serve tea. I lead a community. I'm a father. I'm a husband. Yeah. Get down.
I love it, man. I love it. And I probably will include some sort of clip from that episode 27.
Oh, dope. Back when I had pyrotechnics and man and a DJ.
Yeah, we're going to throw some crazy sound effects in there for sure. If people listen to those old episodes, they'll know we got crazy with the sound effects back then. But I mean, the kung fu is where you and I think connected, and the fact that you opened up a kind of different perspective on it for my audience, something that I had only really glimpsed, you know, like I obviously practice martial arts, but nowhere at the level that the level of dedication that you have with it. And that's part of why some of the things you said were so impactful on me. So when you talk about kung fu as something you do in everything, like, can you kind of expand on that for people who are unfamiliar with what kung fu is? Because obviously we know what Hollywood depicts it as. We know what the modern cliche version of it is. But what is kung fu to you?
Yeah, well, when people think kung fu, they often think fighting or self-defense. And by and large, that's due to the work of Big Brother Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee is to kung fu what Bob Marley is to reggae. You know, he's kind of like the gateway drug. But Bruce Lee, aside from the fists and kicks, he had this one quote that kind of sums up kung fu in a nutshell. It's, I don't care about the 10,000 things you did once. I care about the one thing you did 10,000 times. And so it kind of just means something that you do again and again and again and again, you know, the 10,000 repetitions kind of thing. And, you know, and there's things that we all do again and again, like brush our teeth or, you know, take a shower, you know, so on and so forth. But it almost becomes like autopilot. You know, it's not like every time we do it, we're trying to do it better. every time we do it, we're present to our flaws and present to how we could be more efficient and more effective, right? And so Kung Fu is kind of like doing something again and again with an intent of honing a skill and improving. And oftentimes through that effort of improving a skill, inadvertently we also improve our character by way of, you know, developing work ethic, by way of developing dedication, by way of developing perseverance, the capacity to overcome challenges and obstacles and, you know, still see through to a goal or an ideal or a value. These are some of the values that, you know, beyond just fists and kicks, Kung Fu is an opportunity to kind of commit yourself to something and see it through. And if you can do that, then kind of the world is your oyster at that point. All of human experience is available to you if you're able to apply yourself with this Kung Fu work ethic.
Yeah, this is something that I think when you get past the surface level, you realize that it's not about a belt. It's not about, again, a punch or a kick. It's about how you grow as an individual. And one of the major crossroads that I meet my family at as far as why they might think I'm crazy from time to time, it has to typically do with health and, you know, either reactions to the way I live my life or my reactions to the way they live theirs. And what you said to me that really stuck with me, in other words, paraphrasing it, and the clip will be somewhere in this episode's intro, so the audience has already heard it, but it's essentially leading by example, right? Like I asked you something to the effect of, you know, well, how do you relay these things you learn to your family? And, you know, how do they follow in, you know, your lead? And you basically were like, listen, it's hands off. If they see something I'm doing and they want to do it too, good for them, right? And in that respect, I feel like Kung Fu can be pretty impressive when you are in great shape and you do have the ability to, you know, accomplish physical tasks that maybe the average person cannot. And right, I mean, what's average these days, right? It's probably people are in pretty poor shape. I don't know how it is on the West Coast, but at least over here, what I see, it's not too often, but I don't know. I'm not judging. But when it comes to like Kung Fu in particular, staying active is not just about martial arts. It's about how you apply yourself through your daily life, your physical routines, things like that. Is am I somewhere in the realm of how you understand it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, by that measure, it's like the bus driver that's never missed a route in 30 years. You know, that's Kung Fu. The baker that has the fluffiest muffins, that's Kung Fu. I remember meeting a monk in China, and I was so impressed when he, you know, fluffed up a garbage bag. You know, how many of us fluff up a garbage bag and kind of to excess, how much wasted energy of wah-pah, you know, fluffing out this garbage bag. But he just fucking flicked his wrist just enough to make the garbage pan can pop like a popcorn kernel. You know, it's like just a flick of the wrist and the bag just went perfectly. And he just put it in the garbage can and he went about serving tea like it was nothing. Like it was nothing. And then I noticed that. And so it's almost like, is he over here practicing, you know, opening garbage bags? Or is it kind of to the effect of how you do something is how you do everything? And that same idea of efficiency and just enough effort to, you know, complete a task. You know, I'm not going to overshoot something or not going to, you know, fall just shy. It's perfect. You know, there was a Kung Fu to that I witnessed. And to think that kung fu can be found in how you put a garbage bag in a pin, it's, you wouldn't think to look for kung fu there.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, or I noticed, I don't think you mentioned it, but I noticed you're pouring yourself tea, and you did just mention something about tea, but it's something that I know has a lot of intentionality about it. There's a ceremony around tea. I don't know much about tea and how it fits into daily life, but tell me about how it fits into your routine and take us through what you're doing here, preparing something for our conversation. It seems I wish we were in person. I might take part in this, whatever's very steamy and looks good over there.
Well, tea, the gist of it is humble hospitality. And so if I have a guest coming from afar, I want to be a humble host and I want to offer him a seat and a warm beverage. And so that would be on a kind of macro level. On a micro level, my guest is this tea leaf that came from an old tree from ancient China. It's a distant traveler, and this isn't my home. This is a teapot. And so, in the same way that I'm going to tidy up my house before my guest comes, I'm going to warm up my teapot before I introduce the leaves. And then, if this guest is going to stay for a while, I might want to run my guest a bath. And so, in the same way, I'm going to rinse my tea leaves before I serve them. And then in this kind of slow process of introducing heat, introducing water to the leaves, and then slowly allowing them to bloom, and then, okay, now we brew it. It's kind of a, or I say, foreplay, if you will, with the leaves, and it allows you to have an experience of brewing from the inside out, as opposed to just, brewing the leaves straight away and then kind of brewing from the outside in. Right. And so you have this kind of introduction of heat and moisture to allow the tea to bloom. Now we brew. Right. And so it's kind of nice. It's special. If anything, if there's any special benefit to tea, you don't have to have all these wares, you don't have to have all these fancy tea connections, loose leaf tea bag, doesn't matter. If there's any benefit to tea as medicine or something like that, it's less in its chemical components and more in its practice. And so by that, it's in practice, I have to wait for this water to boil. I'm going to steep these leaves. I'm going to observe the color. I'm going to observe the smell. I'm going to taste it. I'm going to slurp it. I'm going to hear the slurp. I'm going to feel the temperature on my palate. I'm going to feel the temperature descend, as opposed to kind of just having a beverage that I drink on the go. This is, it's an invitation to slow the fuck down. And in that slowing down, anxiety goes away, pain goes away, neck and shoulder pain goes away, blood pressure regulates, blood sugar regulates. It's like, if there's any medicine to, it's not the tea. It's that you slow down. And that's the medicine, right? That's the invitation of tea.
That's the practice of practice, right? And the patience of being, your own patient and your own doctor, right? I don't know. I'm trying to get some wordplay in here because maybe I'm trying to mirror your smoothness, David. But this, West Coast, East Coast, we got trying to mirror a little bit here. Throw it up. But yes, I'm with you. And I feel like that is something that is missing from the average person. I don't want to pick on my family because it's a diverse group with a lot of variety. But for the most part, my family is quick to, buy the cheapest option when it comes to what they're putting in their body and also run to the doctor when it comes to any maybe health issue. If the pharmacy isn't, serving the need, then, well, the doctor's the authority, right? And I'm always the type who says, no, I'm my own sovereign authority over my body. I'm not going to go and consult another person unless it's completely out of my hands. And I'd like to think that I'm managing my health to the point where that isn't happening. And, people would say, well, what about, something out of your control, like an accident? Well, this past month in September, I was in a car accident. I was a victim of someone else's carelessness. They were completely liable for totaling my Honda Civic, my lovely 2012 Honda Civic. I was driving, nobody else was in the vehicle, thankfully, and they hit like right in the front of the vehicle, like right in the driver's side front, to the point where I like T-boned them. That's how bad they cut me off, right? And we're both in a Starbucks parking lot at that point because of how fast they dragged my front end of my car to the right. And I found that really ironic because it's like all the conversations we've had on this podcast about dang Starbucks and the mermaid symbolism. And sure enough, I'm just dragged across the rocks on my ship and there's the mermaid. But, anyways, long story short, my point of bringing this up is everybody after this car accident was like, oh, you got to go to the hospital. You got to go to urgent care. You got to go to a doctor. I felt fine. And I'm not trying to say I'm some kind of tough guy. I mean, any other person might have been more shaken up. I was definitely shaken up consciously, but I feel like the martial arts training I've done, the wrestling I've done, the lifestyle I've lived allowed me to be in a place where when I felt the car in the way it was impacting my car, excuse me, I braced myself. I felt like I kind of took the impact in, and again, not trying to say I'm some kind of tough guy. The airbag did blow up, and I do have the airbag. As a matter of fact, I'm going to turn it into a bag of some kind. But anyways, I say all this to say, like, I felt like that was a choice that I made to not see the doctor. And again, I feel fine. It's been almost like a month since that happened, or feels like a month, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But, I feel fine. And I think if I had gone the route of, ow, my back, I'd be compromising my integrity. I'd be compromising this path that I've chosen to be on. So there's ups and downs. But I feel like somewhere in there is Kung Fu. And I've had such a whirlwind of a summer that maybe just telling you this in some way makes me feel better. I don't know that you're gonna have anything in particular to say about my car accident, but again, for anybody who's concerned, I am fine. But I do think that there's something about taking care of yourself that goes beyond what our modern medical system typically provides. That's just my opinion. Not prescribing anything for anyone who might get into a car accident themselves, but yeah.
For sure. Well, I don't know anything about your case outside of what you just shared, and I'm glad you're okay. I hope that the other person is okay as well. And
Yeah,
insofar
they're
as
fine, yeah.
this kind of East first West, I really adopt this Buddhist notion of middle path, and no doubt, hands down, when it comes to crisis, emergency trauma, Western saves lives. When it comes to imagery, things of that sort, Western is really got some amazing things going on. However, when it comes to quality of life and pursuit of purpose and pursuit of potential, that's where kind of Eastern has the edge, And so if I get into a car accident like yourself, thankfully you're fine and you can walk it off. I myself have walked off my share of calamities too, right? But, you know, assuming there was some crazy trauma, I'd be fortunate to have an ambulance come in time to save me. However, once I'm recovered, best believe I'm going to be pursuing kind of more natural alternative modalities in terms of my quality of life going forward, you know. And so East and West together, I think, is going to be the way forward, because it's all too easy to get polarized and vilify one or the other, when in reality, it's kind of, there's so much more to the concept of healing. You know, is it the technique? Is it the method? Is it the bedside rapport? Is it the will to live? Is it the spirit? Is it prayer? Is it ancestors, guardian angels? Like, who the fuck knows? You know?
Well, and here's where maybe, an unconventional source of wisdom when it comes to something like a car accident, yourself being that unconventional source of wisdom, maybe this is where it takes a loop, because for the past few months, I've been torn up about the loss of my grandmother. I mean, she was in her 90s, so it's not, unheard of, but it's also sad. You mentioned the ancestor connection, and or in other words, to me, ancestor connection is what I've felt with her and this car accident. Again, I'm fine, and the amount of money I'm gonna get for the claim is just enough to get this van that my friend has been planning on selling me. So it's like these things in life, like we talk about synchronicity so often on the podcast. And here's my opportunity to just kind of share that with the audience. And the van, again, like now potentially the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast will hit the road and go, meet all these awesome people we've interviewed, like yourself, all the way across the country. I feel like I've made so many cool friends all over the country. And then here's this awesome calamity. I love that word. Thank you for bringing that back into the podcast vocab. But
The
this,
Looney Tunes word.
yeah, well, it was a calamity, and it's so funny, like the things that were going on that week and that day. Like I was on a real like roller coaster up, feeling like a lot of different high notes, accomplishments, goals being met, new people, new friends, that kind of thing. And then boom, this happens. And it's like, well, hey, here you go. Here's that van you were hoping for, right? So in the meantime, I've had the rental car, and it's my birthday last weekend. So it's like, what the heck is going on? I feel like I'm being treated like like a celebrity or something with this rental car. So it's funny, just the way life kind of flips you up and down and moves you in the direction you. I, again, with practice and with dedication to something, because it's not all out of nowhere, right? And that goes back to what we're talking about with Kung Fu. Like, I put this podcast out 2 times a week for almost 5 years straight. At first, it was a little on and off, and this summer it's been a little spotty, but it's a pursuit of love. I love this podcast and love talking to people like yourself and allowing the audience to connect with people like yourself through these conversations. So, yeah, man, we don't need to spend too much more talking about myself, but it is something that, considering the fact that you were one of the first guests I had on the show, it's like, I feel like I should bring this up and
Right
get
on.
some feedback on it. So, what do you think about that? I mean, I'm sure you've had your fair share of synchronicities in life, but.
Oh, for sure. With regards to synchronicity, thank you for jumping back to it, because that's exactly what I wanted to speak to. Was I remember first tapping into these kind of synchronicities where things would come in and triangulate into my experience from all random places, and yet they'd kind of come together in some meaningful way, in some kind of coincidental way. And I remember telling my spiritual advisor at the time, I'm like, wow, I'm really seeing all these coincidences in my life, all these synchronicities. And what do you think about that? Isn't that cool? And is like, yeah, it's more of something to notice when you're not seeing the synchronicities, right? And it kind of gave me an aha moment that if this truly is an all one scenario, right? A universe, right? A whole one, a holistic one universe, then kind of coincidence and synchronicity is actually the natural state of being. It's not like some amazing thing. It's actually com it's it is. It's the commonplace, right? And so when you tap into that and you start to see synchronicity everywhere, right? And then it's like when I don't see the synchronicities, then it's like, oh, okay, I have to recalibrate. Tap back into gratitude. I have to tap back into my mission or purpose, right? And get back into the realization that everything is synchronous, right? And then so when we tap into that synchronicity, then it's almost like we're synchromystics. You know, there's the synchro destined and then the synchro mystic and then the synchronist. And, you know, there's like these different phases of someone who notices them versus someone who follows them and pursues them versus someone who kind of co-creates them. And, you know, it's these different relationships with the synchronous. And one of the coolest stories I have with synchronicity was, you know, related to tea, this very tea table I'm sitting at. My tea master, Master Wong, peace be upon him, he died in 2019. But when I first met him, my fucking business mentor, you know, sends me this text. He's like, "Hey, you got to meet my master," you know. And you can imagine everybody says, "Oh, you got to meet my teacher. You got to meet my master. You got to meet my guru." Like, yeah, every fucking body tells me I got to meet their guru, right? And so this business mentor of mine says, "Hey, I have a spiritual mentor. You should meet him." Okay. And he sends me a text, sends me an address. And then this fucking Rastafarian yoga master from Jamaica that I met in China, like another, you know, recluse tumbleweed. And he's like, "Hey, I got this spiritual mentor. You should meet him." And it's almost as if these two people from two different parts of my life, literally word for word, space everything, sent me the exact same text. And then when I saw that, I was like, aha, synchronicity, right? And sure enough, that's something I pursue, right, as a synchrodestined. And then I meet my tea master, and like a synchro fate unravels. And, you know, it's definitely something to notice. It's definitely something fun to pursue. It's definitely an adventure, kind of like a choose your own adventure book unfolding before your eyes when you tap into that experience. But yeah, synchronicity is fun. I dig it.
Yeah, it's really incredible that 500 and something episodes in and we've never heard synchrodestined before. Wow, dude. I mean, can you get any cooler? Is that the new catchphrase for the podcast? What the heck? Man, yeah, synchrodestined. That's sick. All right. I need to calm down. So, a tea master, you make these tea ceremonies sound so casual. I mean, to become a master in something, as you described, it seems like it would take a lot of patience and humility, as you described. But when I think of a tea master, my mind goes to like someone like a botanist, right? But as far as I understand tea, you have one plant. And you have it aged in various stages, and whether you're drinking it young, at its prime stage, or aged, you know, that's kind of like what determines the variety of the tea you're drinking. So, to become a tea master, help me understand, like, what does that entail?
I think a tea master is less about someone who has this knowledge of the tea and more of someone who has a capacity to hold space for someone to be vulnerable. And And again, I mentioned earlier that tea, it's like, yeah, it's this medicine, more so this opportunity to slow down, but at the root of it's hospitality. And so a tea master is someone who makes you feel warm and welcome and invites you to open up and be vulnerable. At which point the tea master has such a depth of life experience that they can relate and reflect back an insight that may be of value. And so the tea master is someone who can host, hold space, and touch a life with nothing but a cup of hot water.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, isn't that what people are really looking for when they go to something like a therapist or a psychiatrist or otherwise? And again, no disparaging professionals and doctors out there. I'm sure there's a lot of good people, and I've interviewed some of them. We definitely have doctors occasionally on this show, but it to talk about East versus West. Again, I'm like you. I try to find the middle ground. But this Eastern approach to mental health, if I could use that loaded term that people so commonly throw out there today, I feel like we would have less pharmaceutical waste, And again, if pharmaceuticals are what you need to stay healthy and stay sane, God bless you. But personally, I can see how these are bad for the environment. They're taking natural things and deriving them into lesser components of themselves, and sometimes that's for the better, but other times it ends up in our water supply and poisoning our fish, poisoning newborns potentially. I don't know. It could just be environmentalist hippie propaganda coming from me, but yeah, I think there's definitely a well-rounded benefit to what you just described. If somebody was maybe, in a position where that sounds like something they need, maybe we need more tea houses and less hospitals.
Oh, funny. Well, a lot of that stuff is by design. I hear you about the pharmaceutical and the impact of that. But kind of, the other end of that is that Johnson Johnson owns both sides of it. So it's like the medicine is the poison is the cure is the, it's circle of life in this instance, And so it's a funny conversation to dig into. But with regards to tea, every treatment I have, I have a clinic practice here, and every session, let's say we have an hour, okay? If we have an hour treatment, fucking 30 minutes of it is tea. Right? And then every now and then I'll get a client and be like, "Can we start?" And we're like, we have, this is it, right? Slow down, listen to this kettle boil, taste something, smell something, feel something. And then it's less about your story, because every client, every patient comes with a story, a fix me story, right? And then you listen to their story. It's like, are you the victim in this story or the hero in this story or an observer in this story? And then it's less about the symptom or the problem and more about how they relate to it, And then the medicine then comes in the form of relationship with the disease and the illness. And then you had mentioned your grandmother, and then things like eating grandma's old recipes become medicine. Singing grandma's old songs become medicine. Right, visiting her ancestral homelands, touching the soil, smelling the air, right, hearing the stories, then those things become medicine and touch you and nourish your soul in some kind of unspoken way that, dare I say, has a capacity to heal. or at the very least inspire. But something to throw back at you, right, in this kind of conversation of medicine, like, what is medicine? What is medicine? When does medicine start? When does medicine end? Who needs medicine? Why? Right. These are kind of interesting topics in the concept of medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I mean, I might be a strange individual, but I've always turned within when I needed healing. And I definitely had moments where I turned to others, but there's a certain breaking point where I realized I had to rely on myself. And that's where I think I began approaching true healing. And I'm still definitely on that journey, but I love the thought you just brought up. And honestly, I feel like we're kind of in one of your tea ceremonies. You're getting me to open up here. And yeah, to touch my ancestral land, I sort of did that in a way for my birthday. I didn't get all the way up to where my grandparents grew up, but they definitely spent a lot of time in Maine, and they grew up right above the Canadian Maine border in New Brunswick. And so, yeah, to go to Maine and deep in the woods of Maine on this remote lake definitely felt like a healing journey, with family too. My cousin, who's older than me, I look up to him. He's a good guy and took care of me, let me shoot his guns, which, you know, I've never been a big gun guy. I've always been, you know, like I see in the Bruce Lee movies. I mean, he never uses a weapon. The only time he uses a weapon is if he's got his nunchucks and the other, you know, the guys he's fighting have swords and things. Like, he'll take their weapons and use them against him. He'll use his nunchucks. But for the most part, Bruce is not strapped up like Rambo, you know. And I kind of took that to heart when I was a fan of him when I was younger. And I thought, yeah, like, what, you know, karmically speaking, like, what? I don't need a gun right now at this point in my life. You know, I don't have property to guard. I don't have a family with little kids to guard. Like, what do I need a gun for? So I was never interested in that kind of thing. But my cousin Kyle was like, no, you got to try it. So I tried it. It was a very interesting experience. I'm grateful. I think my biggest takeaway was I want to, every new year of life, have a new experience, you know, and that maybe not guns every time, but yeah, have a new experience, because that was cool. Like, I had a lot of trepidation. I was not very sure what I was gonna think, you know. I was definitely not scared, but I was nervous, and it was a lot more thrilling and fun than I expected. So yeah, that was good. But back to my point, yeah, it was great to touch the cold waters in the lake, and I took some stones back with me.
Right on.
Yeah, man. It's definitely something that I think synchronistically, it's I've been daydreaming about something like that, and it just sort of fell together. So if anything, you know, just going with the flow has been the biggest advantage, I guess, I've brought to this lifestyle I'm leading. And the biggest takeaway I can hope to give to anybody who listens to this show is, like, you know, if again, to your earlier point, if you're not noticing the synchronicities in your life, you know, what is becoming stagnant about you, mm-hmm. you know? And when you're thinking about your life, I mean, to go with the flow might seem like, I don't know, to some people, especially people who are more rooted in the material Western mindset, they think, oh, go with the flow. Like, how are you ever going to get ahead if you're just going with the flow? You know, but I, honestly, the more I've gone with the flow, the easier life's become. You know?
Yeah, there's a Taoist value, or we're often called cloud stepping or walking on clouds, you know? The Buddhist, they have bodhisattvas that kind of levitate 2 inches above the ground and kind of just float and grace the lands as they. And it kind of speaks less to this ability to fly or levitate, and more of of an ability to kind of tread the world and not be an impact.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, our newest sponsor, Gold Main Street. That's right, goldmainstreet.com. What are they? Well, they're your new source for solventless live rosin. With a proprietary cold press, they use fresh frozen hemp, ice, and pressure. No solvents, no additives. This is an incredible lineup of strains, folks. Okay, some of these strains are rare. It's the only way to get them. We got Trop Cherry, Banana Punch, Dark Rainbow, Moroccan Peaches, Trapaya, Papaya Cake, Sherbert, Grape Banana, Donnie Burger. Listen, save with my promo code. Get yourself some live rosin right now. It's there. You can get up to 30% off. Use the promo code CRAZY when you subscribe, or just get 20% off your entire order. Okay? Pick one. You can't do both. You either subscribe, get a subscription, they'll send you the solventless live rosin. Again, some of the highest quality live rosin available in the United States. It's 21 and up only. But you gotta go to goldmainstreet.com. Use the promo code CRAZY. That's right, promo code CRAZY. Go to goldmainstreet.com to see if you're eligible from your state. That's right, they deliver anywhere in the U.S. laws pending, of course, if where applicable, I think would be the right way to phrase that. But anyways, shout out to them. They rule. Gold Main Street. Next up, we've got our friends at Vibe Med X, your number one source for Shilajit, Shilajam with the Shilajit, Shilajit too legit to quit, because the Shilajit is the shit. Use the promo code CRAZY at VibeMedX.com. Listen, if you don't know what Shilajit is, I've talked about it a bunch. Just search Shilajit. I think that's how you spell it. Pretty sure that's how you spell it. But any combination of I's and A's in between should work. So yeah, there you go. Check it out. Promo code CRAZY, VibeMedX. That's VibeMedX.com. Promo code CRAZY. And last but not least, also 21 and up, BrainSupreme.co. If you're curious about microdosing, listen, my friend Adam Schell is the guy you need to know. Okay, go to his website, BrainSupreme.co, where they have all the information you need to learn what you need to know about microdosing. Check it out, where laws apply, where laws allow. I don't know. Use a promo code CRAZY. What are we talking about here? Now let's get back to the show after these quick dynamic ads. If you want every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast ad free and interruption free, use the promo code CRAZY when signing up at patreon.com/MFTIC. That's patreon.com/MFTIC. My family thinks I'm crazy. Family, let me tell you about my favorite, my personal favorite cannabis, Mood, M-O-O-D, created in 2002 as an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small pesticide-free American farms. Listen, folks, this is the good stuff made in America. Their gummies are action-packed, okay? I've had all the gummies. None of them are the same. The Sleep Time gummies mixed with my Raw Optics red lenses, I'm in bed in 10 minutes. No hangover, no grogginess. I wake up like that. Whew. Jumping out of my bed, standing up straight, and taking on my day. It's incredible. Try it out today. Use the promo code CRAZY and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code CRAZY. Let's go, folks. Let's do it. All right. My family thinks I'm crazy. I'm in the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy mood. Hey, everybody. This is Mystic Mark, the host of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. And I got to pay my bills. So here I am compromising my integrity to tell you about Hims. And listen, you don't have to compromise your routine with Hims. You don't have to take time out of your busy schedule. Just do it all online from the comfort of your home. What are you doing? You're getting treated for erectile dysfunction. Why do you have erectile dysfunction? I don't know. Maybe there are other issues in your life that you should address first before going straight to pharmaceuticals. But if you're there and you've tried everything else and you really just want to make your lady happy, which I'm a guy, I get it, man. We got to make the ladies happy. That's how the world goes around. When women are happy, the world keeps turning. So get that edge you need in the bedroom with Hims. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout. That's hims.com/crazy for your free online visit. hims.com/crazy to get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more. Visit hims.com/crazy. Here comes the fun part. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Doo-doo-doo. Thank you, Hims. Now I can go buy more weed and smoke it, stoner, dude. Just kidding. I'm literally paying my electric bill, my insurance bill. I'm dying over here. Support me on Patreon, patreon.com, for real, patreon.com/MFTIC.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Yeah, I think about that. Think about that when it comes to, you know, back to the gun conversation. Like, I think owning a gun in a certain, to a certain extent, is something some people need to do. But I wonder, and again, this isn't a judgment on anyone who does own a gun, but I wonder, to what extent are you creating a reality where you're going to use that gun in a situation that maybe you don't want to use that gun by owning it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I think the Taoist approach would be to not have the gun, but maybe that's wrong, because maybe you just see it as another tool in your tool shed.
I know Taoists that have guns.
Yeah, see, exactly. I think if you have like an enemy who's using guns against you, it's like, yeah, well, this is just another tool that we need.
Yeah. You know, however we may feel about guns socially.
Right.
I've seen enough times in history when guns are taken away from a populace, you know. Right. I've seen enough times what happens. So right. I'm definitely for guns. I'm anti-stupid gun. And I have a student of mine, you know, I've had countless students over the years, and I've only kicked out one student from my school, and I'll spare his name, but the reason why I kicked him out is because he had a gun. And not because he had a gun, a lot of my students have guns, but because he was being stupid with that gun. You know, here we are in Oakland, a number of my students, young, aggressive youth, you know, they're roughhousing. And, you know, here they are claiming set. So I'm from this part of Oakland, or I'm from that part of Oakland. And, you know, roasting back, oh, you're not from here, you're from there, you're not real, you're fake, you know, young boys do. And one of my students starts pulling out his gun and brandishes it and says, well, this is where I'm really from, this, what? And, you know, the other one of my students took it upon himself to kick the kid in the chest, take the gun out of his hands, and dispose of the weapon, right? And when I found out about that, for one, I praised the older student that controlled the situation. And for two, I kicked out the student that brandished the weapon carelessly. And that was a painful thing because I had known that kid since he was 8. You know, he was a foster child. You know, he was really, you know, traumatic case. And I really invested a lot into that kid. You know, for him to brandish that weapon, you know, in such a silly way, I kicked him out. And it's been like 20 years, 10 years since that happened. That was a long time ago. It was a big, impactful moment. So I wouldn't say I'm anti-gun, but I am anti-stupid guns. So, if there's a distinction to be made there.
Yeah, no, well said. Well said. I'm glad you brought that anecdote up. I mean, not to get us into commentary on society, but I feel like if there's anybody to speak to this, it's you. I often, if this conversation comes up, I think, you know, martial arts should be, I don't know, I don't want to say mandated because nothing should be mandated, but it should be something that's available in high schools, I think, in a way, especially in inner cities where maybe people are prone to violence with guns, in a way to, I don't know, mitigate that violence. But what do you think? As somebody who seems like they've dealt with that firsthand, like, do you think martial arts is a solution, generally speaking, when it comes to some of the issues we're seeing with young men in inner cities?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, martial arts is absolutely. I mean, coming up in the inner city myself, I had my fair share of altercations, if you will. But it seems like once I learned martial arts, the more I learned how to fight, the less I did. And so I absolutely think that martial arts builds character and, you know, if shared with values and you know, discipline and, you know, tradition and morals, then of course, you know, someone's character can be developed to be kind of less violent, you know. It's, I don't want to say non-violent, right? Because there's a space for the assertive, you know, the assertive power, the assertive dominant power of martial arts is a place for it. But I think that it's like a sword, right? I want to have a sharp sword. A sharp sword or a sharp knife is a safe knife, right? And so I want to have a sharp blade, but I also want to have a good sheath. And I want to have a discernment to know when I should use that blade, right? And so nonviolence then is a conversation of choice. As opposed to a conversation of, oh, I'm just harmless. Right. So nonviolent means I have a capacity for, oh, I can fuck you up, but I'm choosing not to. And then there's like the morality, right? But versus someone who's just harmless, doesn't even have a choice. Then actually, those are the people that tend to be more violent and more dangerous because those are the people that lash out and black out and kind of, you know, are subject to rage, you know, whereas someone who knows their capacity, knows that they are violent, and then has the choice to not be. I think that's where morality is.
Yeah, it's something I've definitely confronted since I've stopped practicing martial arts in my, you know, daily and weekly life. I don't think it's something you ever stop practicing because the mentality sticks with you. But Yeah, I don't know. We'll call it laziness to be humble and not try to make excuses for myself. But I guess the other side of it would be active. I've been active in other ways. And one of the ways that I've been active, particularly lately, is in this job I'm doing, hardscaping and landscaping this backyard. I basically have like an overgrown, partially manicured backyard, and I'm going to be turning it into hopefully a space where not only can they have tea parties to bring tea up, but there's going to be a meditation space and a lot of meadow grasses. And we already planted a birch tree that has this like really beautiful S curve in it. So I'm taking a lot of time to tap into the energy of the space and bring a kind of, I don't know, an art to this, because my whole life I've been landscaping with my father, and the Western approach to landscaping is like the military's approach to haircuts, like cut it as short as possible, no frills, no art, just cut it, buzz cut, right? So, but you know, being a kid who loved nature, like hitting every little weed with the weed whacker, I always felt like a brutal killer, you know, like every little like bug and insect out there that relied on these little weeds, like here I come with the weed whacker, like nope, you're all gone, you know. So now I'm kind of starting from scratch with a yard that's almost partially dug up thanks to the help of this homeowners, two dogs. And yeah, we're gonna be rewilding it, so to speak, and turning it into a meadow. But yeah, I think there's, I don't know, there's
Yeah.
something to that that's kung fu in a way too, where
Oh, 100%.
yeah.
Yeah, there's so much kung fu in gardening.
Tell me about that, because this is something I'm sure as a dad you have some time in the garden potentially, hopefully.
Yeah.
My dad
Well,
gardens.
gardening has become like a really sweet space of solace for me in that I can invest a lot of effort into my business. I can invest a lot of effort into my family. I can invest a lot of effort into my patients. I can invest a lot of effort into my students. I can invest a lot of effort into so many things. And I may or may not get a return. Yeah. However, if I invest time into my garden, if I just give an inch of love, nature gives me a mile of love in return. And so, of all the things that I put my time into, the garden is the only thing that multiplies it back right the fuck away. You know? And so it's really been this beautiful kind of safe haven of, talk about medicine, I don't know, being out in nature, breathing the air, having a relationship with something that I want to tend to daily and watch it grow slowly from seed or sprout, nurture it to maturity and fruit, enjoy the fruit, right? There's a lot of opportunity to kind of break free of this clock calendar construct. And it's no longer about what time it is. It's more about, oh, the sun's setting, time to water the lawn. Or, oh, it's time to harvest the plums. Or, oh, it's time to weed. Or, oh, it's time to, and so kind of breaking out of this clock calendar machine mindset and tapping into the needs of nature as we steward our lands, having a slower relationship with time and productivity. The garden, there's a lot to it. And then the last note on garden, it's like talking about health and medicine, and again, in the conversation of hospitality, let's say health was a person, and let's say health came to your house. Would health feel welcome? Would health want to stick around? You know, it's like, can we literally make space for health in our lives? Like, this would be a conversation of feng shui, if you will. And so having a beautiful garden, like, what a wonderful place to invite health into your life. You know, say, hey, health, come over. Let's sit in the garden. Let's enjoy the meadow. Let's have some tea, have a picnic. You know, hey, health, come over. You know, I lit some incense. I opened up the windows. I let the light in. There's fresh air in the house, right? If you had health over as a guest, would health feel welcome? And so the garden is a wonderful place to, like, begin that journey of inviting health into your life.
Yeah, and in this day and age of modern gardening, I mean, again, like, there's like an approach that taps into nature, and then there's an approach that tries to dominate nature. And if you just go to, like, your local home and garden center, most of the products are geared towards people who are trying to dominate their gardens, right? And sometimes they pull it off. Like, my dad, I think he has kind of a, without knowing it, he kind of has figured out a balance between the two, but he'll still whip out the pesticides and the grass seed and all the other domination tactics that people take to their garden. But yeah, man, there's something about tuning into the land that just, again, you can tap into this abundance. And I'm hoping to, I've already taken a bunch of pictures, but I'm hoping to implement some of the awesome things I've learned from this podcast from particular people. I mean, there's a few guests that come to mind, and I will be having them back on the show, but every now and then we'll have conversations that touch on these, I forget the exact term, but it's like a holistic approach to gardening. There's a specific term for it.
Permaculture.
Thank you. Yeah, permaculture is definitely one of them. And yeah, I think that's really what it is. So my permaculture project is coming together, and I'm going to take some pictures and have people, you know, participate virtually.
Right.
But as far as your garden goes, what are some of your favorite things to grow? I mean, in particular, do you grow your own tea for the ceremonies you do and for your practice?
Kinda. I grow my own chrysanthemum. I grow my own mullein. I grow my own herbs that can be made into tea. But I think you even mentioned earlier that tea itself is all the same plant. It's just kind of relative to how it's harvested, processed, stored, or whatnot, right? And so it's your red tea, your black tea, your green tea, your white tea, or whatever. Aside from that, you have the flowers and the herbs, which could also, in effect, be steeped and could also, in effect, make a tea. And so I do, you know, grow lemon verbena, I do grow mullein, I do grow mugwort, I do grow chrysanthemum, I do grow hibiscus, I do grow lemongrass. You know, a lot of these could effectively make amazing fragrant teas. But the tea leaf itself, no, I source that from China.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I for a long time was under the misconception that tea was like a catch-all term, which it kind of has become that for herbal teas, I guess. But yeah, no, it is its own distinct plant. And on that note, I'm curious, like, as someone who has studied under tea masters, I guess that would make you potentially a tea master yourself. I don't know your degree, but I'm going to refer to you as a tea master as far as this podcast is concerned. So the black, the red, the green, the white, is there sort of standard, I guess you would say, diagnosis? Like, if someone has this sort of thing they're going through, you would give them this tea? Like, what's the sort of dichotomy there with the different types of tea, and how are they applied?
For sure. You could break conditions down to hot or cold, right? And so if someone runs hot or has heat conditions, such as fevers, rashes, boils, blisters, and the like, These are conditions of heat, hypertension, high blood pressure. These also be categorized as heat conditions. Right? And so then you would give teas that have a potential to cool. Green tea, for example, oolong, for example, these have cooling properties. On the other end, if someone runs cold, if someone has pain, if someone's stiff, if someone's sluggish, if someone's kind of overweight, if some of these are kind of cold or damp conditions, then we may want something that warms them up. And so this is something that might be charcoal roasted or, you know, something that's fermented or aged, right? That has more of a warming quality. And so that would be one way to consider. And then you look in terms of like excess or deficiency. Do we need to shed? Do we need to purge? Or do we need to tonify and energize and nourish? Right? And so relative to condition, relative to case. I kind of hear myself talking about tea right now, and I feel like, was that Ben Stein, the nerd? Like, oh, I can just hear our listeners yawn.
I think it's a good change of pace from the last episode we had. And, you know, on that note, since we're talking about people and particular ailments, I mean, our last guest, God bless them. I wish them the best, but they definitely were on the far end of paranoid. And it's not exactly hot or cold. So maybe it's hot because it's overactivity of your mind in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
it's accurate.
Again, like, you know, these are things that maybe doctors or real doctors are better served diagnosing. But for someone like our previous guest who is what we would call in the conspiracy culture a targeted individual, what would you recommend for someone, maybe not a targeted individual, but maybe somebody who's suffering from paranoia? What kind of tea would you recommend someone like that?
I wouldn't recommend tea.
Okay.
Someone who is paranoid. Okay, so there's something called the six hell realms in Buddhist terminology. I'm going to murder this, you know, so I'm by no means a scholar. But the gist of it is you have these various realms of human entrapment. And so you have like the heaven realm, where someone who's just, oh, life doesn't happen to me, it happens for me, everything's bliss, and they kind of just delude themselves that everything is perfect, right? So that would be considered a heaven realm. Then you have this kind of Titan realm where I have this kind of big, aggressive bravado outside because on the inside, I'm really small and insecure and scared, right? And it's like, up. This is kind of a Titan realm scenario. And then you have this kind of what's called a human realm scenario where logic and reason, systems, and, you know, I can overcome, you know, I can fix everything. It's kind of the human delusion. And you get into the animal realm, one of this is habit and reactivity and instinct, right? And you get into hungry ghost, very prominent right now in our culture, very prominent. And this is kind of where your buddy might lie, and that's constantly consuming big victim mentality, right? The big everyone's out to get me, big boogeyman coming to get me, right? There's the hungry ghost, the ghostly realm. And then you have the hell realm, which is actually like a war-torn space. I bring up these six realms in relation to your buddy because no matter what realm of delusion you find yourself in, there's only one escape. And that's gratitude and service. And so with regards to your buddy, I wouldn't recommend tea. I'd recommend a gratitude journal. It's like, okay, conspiracy, okay, you're a target, okay, but what are you grateful for? What can you say thank you to? In spite of that.
Right.
Take off your tinfoil for a second. What can you still be grateful for? And then we do like alphabet gratitude. Like go through the alphabet. A, all the things start with A. What are you grateful for? B, all the things start with B. What are you grateful for? And just go through the alphabet and kind of get into this thought pattern of gratitude. And then beyond the thought, maybe, just maybe, if you can tap into the feeling of gratitude, right, and the actual experience of gratitude, and then maybe, just maybe, channel that feeling into action and act from that gratitude. This is the way out of the hell realm. This is the way out of the hungry ghost realm. This is the way out of the human realm. This is the way out of the six hell realms. This is the one way out, is gratitude and then action based on that.
Right.
Right. Paying it forward. So, you know, I myself, I mean, I think that's kind of how we met, how I got into Sam Tripoli was this kind of conspiratorial thing. But at the end of the day, like, what can I be grateful for? And how can I add more of that gratitude into my world? Because, yeah, you know, where your mind goes, energy flows. And so if I'm thinking about the bad things, there's more and more bad things to think about. But if I'm thinking about the beautiful things, then, hey, sure enough, there's more and more beautiful things to think about too. And let us be of contribution to those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And I do hope my buddy, previous guest, listens to this and hears what you say. Maybe he's a new fan of the show. He did reach out to me, so he's possibly a listener. But yeah, I do think that that's great advice. You know, to be grateful is to be in the moment, you know, and that's something that paranoia, or really any sort of negative emotion, and I'm not trying to color emotions, they're reactions to things that, you know, your awareness or your physical awareness, your soul, your mental awareness is trying to get you to focus on something. But it's when we run away from those things or ignore those things and put them in the past or keep them looming in the future that we, you know, punish ourselves or torture. At least that's how it felt to me. But being in the now, being in the moment, grounding yourself with gratitude, yeah, that sounds like what this person possibly could use some more of. But yeah, who knows? I hope they do take that advice. And if they do, get in touch, reach out. But anyways, yeah, it's something that, you know, being grateful, when I was younger, I was a real smart ass. I was a real SOB. Anyone in my family will tell you that I was not a golden child. I was not a good kid. I was up to no good most of the time. So I've reformed myself, and I feel like that's like the chip on my shoulder in some ways. But in other ways, I've let that go. And I think maybe in all ways I've let that go. And I try not to live in ignorance, but, you know, there is a sort of spectrum where you can be hyper aware of problems to the point where it gets in the way, or you can be completely oblivious to the point where it gets in the way. And it's kind of the same thing with living in the future or the past. I used to tell people, you know, in conversation, something to the effect of like, listen, if you're anxious, it's because you're thinking too much about the future. And you know, if you're regretting or you're worrying, you're probably thinking too much about the past. So just let that go for now and be in the moment you're in. Deal with what's in front of you. And that's, I mean, I've only told that to people because it's helped me. And yeah, that's kind of what I get when I hear your response to my question there. But yeah, it's, you know, again, this show, we run the gamut of topics, and self-help isn't everyone's favorite thing to listen to, but I'll tell you what, sitting down at home with a nice warm cup of tea or a cold beverage, if you need that, it's a good thing, you know, just to sit and have no stimulus, not even a podcast, no television, nothing, no music, just sit, Enjoy the moment you're in, man. I mean, that's, you asked me earlier, and I don't think I even attempted to answer your question, but to try to answer your question now, what is medicine? I think that is it. I know I'm kind of stealing your answer, but in a way, to be in the now is the medicine that I talk about on this show all the time, and I've had moments in my past where I've kind of like gone to the top of a mountain peak and I've shouted, ah, like I've had those kind of moments, and that's definitely been healing for my younger self. But now I definitely prefer to just sit in the space that I've cultivated here, in the place that I rent and dream of, the place I'll own one day and the future that I'm stepping into. But again, from the moment and from what's in front of me, not from this expecting things and hoping for things and just taking it in the moment and genuinely reflecting on what I'm grateful for. And, ironically, I'm very grateful that a Lexus slammed into my Civic and I'm glad this guy was okay. He actually jumped right out of the car and made sure I was okay. So, good on him. He was a upstanding citizen. I had my podcast sticker on the bumper, so who knows? Maybe he listens to the podcast now. Maybe he realized who he hit. But yeah, either way, I think ironically, like, yeah, I'm very grateful for that because now I'll have this sick new van and
Nice.
take that on the road and meet all the beautiful people out there, all the smiling, beautiful podcast listeners who spend their hard-earned hours on this life of Earth listening to the podcast. I mean, as much as I want people to listen to the podcast, I also want you guys to just tune out and be in the moment and listen to nothing, just be silent for a couple hours each day, right? Like,
Word.
probably not the best thing a podcaster can tell his audience, but hey, this is not always about what we want, right?
Well, there's an amazing program that I have no affiliation with, so there's no sponsorship, but with regards to, shut up, be quiet, there is a program called Vipassana, V as in Valentine, Vipassana, and it's translates a Sanskrit word. It translates to see things as they are. And it's a meditation method, and they offer 10-day silent meditation retreats. It ends up being 11 days because, there's like this entry thing, and then they give you a day at the end as a buffer where you do talk, and then they release you. But it's 10 days of not talking and just be with yourself for about 16 or so hours a day. Just kind of just sit and just watch yourself breathe. And a very, very powerful experience if you're into just being silent for a bit of time. And this particular program, I've done it all over the world, and it's free no matter where you go. And they will accept donation. They are a donation-based thing, but they want you to do it first. You have to do the full 10 days first. And then, assuming you like it, okay, yeah, go ahead and donate. And so it's dhamma.org, dhamma.org. It's the Goenka lineage of Vipassana. But if you're into silence, that's where you can get it. And it's free. Your lodging is free. Your food is free. It's completely free. And it's all over the world. It's damn near in every state and every country and continent except Antarctica. And yeah, always free for Vipassana.
Right on. Right on. We always welcome an endorsement. No need to worry about promoting anything but your own free will desires, my friend. But on that note, where can people find out more about you? Obviously, I imagine the tea ceremonies are more of a local thing, right? You're not sharing tea with people over Zoom. Although if you send them the preparation recipe ahead of time, I mean, you could potentially do it virtually, excuse me. But yeah, if people did want to connect with you, tell us how they can do that. And I have another question I want to ask you before we wrap up, because there's so many interesting things you mentioned, but you know, it's late and we both got to wrap up our evening. So let me ask you that. Yeah. What's going on? Where can people connect with you? Because you got Wudang West.
Yeah. And like, it's funny because I've been on a lot of podcasts, and there was that time when I was a hot guest, and I was on them back to back to back. And this question inevitably comes up, like, tell us where we can find you. And my answer was always the same, like, don't find me. Like, I'm busy enough. Like, leave me alone. But I suppose now I have systems and automations in place so I can receive people. So yeah, wudangwest.com. And with regards to the tea, if people are interested in the tea, I do have a tea club. And so there is that. You could subscribe to my newsletter. All of it's on the website. And then the newsletter will have ways to get into the tea club. And then in the tea club, every month we send people a tea relative to the season. And then there's like this whole Zoom group where we get together and we brew it together, and I teach people how to brew it and how to appreciate it and talk shit.
See, it makes it sound like I knew that already. This is just how tapped in we are. You're already doing virtual tea ceremonies. All right, we got to talk afterwards. Maybe we can figure out a way to get my audience like 5% off you know, or whatever discount works out best. But I want to get involved in this tea club and have some tea sent to me, because I'll tell you what, it's funny that this came up, because last week I was just wandering around New Haven like I do. It's part of my process for writing this book I'm working on, and I've always walked down this particular block on Whitney Avenue. And I've seen, or I've driven by it more often than I've walked by it, but I've seen this, I guess it would be, I don't think it's Asian marketplace. I think it's just Chinese. I'm pretty sure that it's a Chinese market, right? It says Chinese on the, I don't know what the name of the business is, because it's in Chinese, but it says something Chinese, and then it's Chinese letters, so... I walked in there and wow, I was in a whole other world. And my intention was just to scout and see if there was anything that I might be interested in. And I was kind of baffled by the cold drink selection. I was like, wow, this is way too many anime characters on beverages, but I could accept it. I'm not going to buy any of these for fear of being seen with an anime character. No offense to those who like anime. But that was a little shocking. But either way, I do want to save myself the trouble of maybe buying and wasting my money. So it'd be good to join this tea club and kind of get a better understanding of what's actually out there. But let's say I was, you know, someone who was trying to get like some kind of, let's say, special Chinese medicine. Because I know, you know, when it comes to Chinese medicine, there's something for everything, right? But there are kind of herbs that are like, I don't know, like Shilajit. We have Shilajit sponsor the podcast, so please don't tell us Shilajit is a scam. But, you know, Shilajit.
Oh, I'd love to try some.
Yeah, we'll hook you up with some Shilajit. But they told us, you know, Shilajit is a big time medicine out there. So what else are kind of like cure alls, or, you know, again, this is not necessarily a serious question, because maybe you're not gonna, I don't know, but like longevity, I guess that's kind of what I'm looking for. It's like a longevity herb. Like, do you get what I'm like, can I walk into this Chinese market and find something like that? You think I think sure. I can.
Yeah, sure. perhaps you've heard of MC Hammer. Shout out MC Hammer from
Oakland. Of course.
Song he released, Too Legit to Quit. And so I just hear Shilajit to Quit. Shilajit is part of this.
All right, that's the next ad reel we're doing, is we're going to work that in somehow.
Yeah, get Hammer to sponsor it, dog. We're
going to use AI MC Hammer. He doesn't need to sponsor it. He's AI now.
All right, but careful, because MC Hammer is a gangster.
And he might not like that.
You
take a moment to YouTube MC Hammer gangster stories.
Okay. All right. Respect. He's not just about the hammer pants.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
You gotta search
Redman. They will let you know. MC Hammer. Yes, he is gangster.
This is the well-rounded type of guest. You know, this is why you're a rock star podcast guest, because just one reference turns into a story. Next thing you know, we're all on YouTube in an MC Hammer.
For sure. If this gets cut up in Hammer, if you see this, Doug, nothing but respect. We're all in.
Of course.
Come over, have some tea, Doug. I would love to hear some stories.
Well, but hit me with this, because, you know, I'm just a, what do you call it? I'm just a Westerner. I don't know how to read Chinese.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so answer your question.
Yeah. Tell me, longevity herbs or like teas that you can get?
You have like your ginsengs and your goji berries and your jujubes and your red dates and your fucking, you know, it's going to be case by case. There's no silver bullet.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is like the only difference between a potion and a poison and a potion. Yeah. The only difference between your poison and your medicine is the dosage.
Yeah.
And so let's see, this She Legit to Quit is the bomb and it's so good, but then I fucking don't stop taking it and I fucking eat gallons of that shit. And then all of a sudden that's something that's supposed to be good for me is no longer very good. For
right. Me. Right. So, everything in moderation.
In moderation, right? And so it's hard to say case by case, because again, if your constitution runs hot and I tell you eat ginseng, I could fuck you up. If your constitution runs cold and I tell you eat more cabbage and pears and cucumbers, like that could fuck you up. And so it'd be ill-advised for me to just say willy-nilly, here's your silver bullet, right? And so if there is a silver bullet, I would just tie it back to slow, right? Because prior to COVID, prior to, you know, this kind of new relationship we have with health as a culture now, you know, outside of the freak accident or traumatic happenstance, the average person going to the ER was because of their lifestyle. 95% of people going to the ER was because of their lifestyle, lifestyle and habit induced.
Yeah.
Again, outside of that freak accident that happens, right? Most of us are sick because of what we choose to do every day. And sure, I can, you know, see people in clinic and I can give treatments and I can help people feel better. And let's say I treat you 1 hour and let's say you come every week. But that's 1 hour out of a day. It's 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week. So it's my 1 hour versus your 168 of lifestyle. Right. And so really the bigger part of medicine is what time do you go to sleep? What time do you wake up? What time do you eat? How hard do you work? How routine is your rest interval? You know, what's your self-care routine like? Like, what's it like over time through spring, summer, fall, winter? Right. How does it evolve with the changing of your climate and your seasons? How well do you adapt to your environment? How well do you adapt to circumstance and change? These are bigger, broader conversations of health, right? And so there's no magic herb that's going to help you bounce back from a car accident, right? It's because of your mindset, because of your lifestyle, because of how you were able to embrace the impact in the moment that, boom, okay, I can overcome this obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Thank you. And maybe that was why I stumbled into that Chinese market. And honestly, I think I went in the wrong door. There was a different side of the market that had like jars and all this stuff along the wall. That's where the herbs are. Maybe that's where I need to go. But in moderation. And again, nothing is a silver bullet, as you put it. I like that, because I don't know, when I was younger, I think I was convinced that because I was taking the alternative route, that there were all these like untried, you know, undiscovered cures for things. And yeah, honestly, I probably just ended up wasting money. I mean, I didn't get hurt. You know, I was young. My metabolism's pretty strong. But I tried a few things here and there, and ultimately the best thing that I've done to maintain my health is what I take in every day. And that's not just what you eat, it's your lifestyle too. And managing stress and drinking tea is something that I think I do a little too often with these Yerba Mates. They are not a sponsor of the show, but this is my tea of choice lately, and it's probably not good for me. So we'll see. Maybe we can replace that with the Wudang West Tea Club and bring some positive practice back into my routine. So, anyways, brother, this has been awesome. I wish I had prepared some tea for myself, but next time, and the links to your tea club and everything else that you offer on your website is linked in the episode description. So as folks are listening to this, they will be able to tap in and tune in to everything you have going on. Again, Hall of Fame guest, episode 27 was your first appearance, and what took me so long to have you back on, but I'm glad to have you back on after the 5-year anniversary. It feels appropriate, and my 31st birthday. So,
Good Kung Fu, 5 years, still
yeah.
good Kung Fu.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. And thank you to everybody who wished me a happy birthday. I was in Maine, so I might not have been able to reply to everybody. There's too many moose blocking the 5G. The 5G was blocked by all the moose antlers. So thank you, Trump, for not killing the moose. Anyways, thank you, David. You're the man. Let's do this again a lot sooner than 5 years from now. We definitely don't want to make a habit of having you on the podcast every 5 years. We want to have you on the podcast a lot more frequently than that, based on how this conversation went. So I'll be in touch, and to everyone listening,
To
yeah, go
that,
ahead.
there's a Chinese medicine quote, okay?
Yeah, hit us.
Ni lai wo kai xing, ni bu lai wo geng kai xing. If you come, I'm happy. You don't come, I'm happier. Least in the scope of medicine, if a patient comes to see the doctor, hey, great to see you, but probably something's wrong, right? And
Right.
so, scope of a patient coming to see a doctor, if I don't see you, hey,
Right.
it's all good.
I didn't get this from my own firsthand experience. This might actually have come from working for Sam Tripoli, but I hear prostitutes have a very similar motto that they go with. So, there we go.
Word for it.
Take my word for it. We don't need to reference anyone but Sam Tripoli for that one. So, anyways, David, you're the best. I appreciate your time and joining me last minute, by the way, because folks, I hit him up this afternoon. I was like, hey, do you want to do a podcast? And
6 hours ago. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
the kindness of this person sitting before me, I have the utmost gratitude to you, my friend. And I needed it, because all I recorded on my way from here to Maine and back was a 20-minute little podcast that I did from my car. So if anyone's interested in that, that will be on the Patreon, and we'll be coming out with a bunch of new episodes this month. So
Awesome.
stick with us,
Awesome.
folks. Follow up with David, and until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was my conversation with Wudang West's David Wei. The link is in the episode description. And I'm going to stop right here, because there's more. If you sign up on Patreon, I recorded an episode for my birthday, for the 5th anniversary, yada yada, while I was driving. It's pretty funny. It's interesting. It's out there. It's mostly funny if you enjoy laughing at me. We're not going to be really laughing together. But that's comedy, I think. And yeah, I also have some pretty awesome videos of me shooting an AR-15. So if you think that's cool, which I wasn't too sure what I would think until I did it, now I think it's freaking cool. So if you want to see that, if you want to see me looking like some kind of action hero, well, sign up on the patreon.com/mftic, or my family thinks I'm crazy. Substack.com, where I'm going to be posting some bonus content.
There's more episodes on the way, folks. Let's go. All right, we'll see you on the next episode. Until then, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are, in the now.
Looking for your next go-to smoke shop? Stop scrolling. I've got you. Headshop.com is the number one online smoke shop, already trusted by over 100,000 happy smokers just like you. They've got it all. Dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, even THCA flower, all in one place. Need a new daily driver? Grab a smooth glass bong or a classic smoking pipe. More of a concentrate fan? Their dab rigs, e-rigs, and wax accessories are designed for smoother, harder-hitting sessions. And yes, they've even got legal THC flower. Best part? Every order ships fast and discreet, which is why thousands of smokers keep coming back. So don't waste time hopping between shops. Shop the best in dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, and THCA flower right now at headshop.com, the number one online smoke shop. Headshop.com has what you need. Check it out today. Oh, and because you're listening right now, you get 10% off your next order when you use the coupon code HSHOP at checkout. Go to headshop.com now and smoke smarter.